Class. That's me. Now, I'd like to ask you, and I want you to be honest now, what do you think I'm doing? Copying. That's what everybody says. But that would be totally wrong. Because I was born with a hearing problem, I often didn't hear what was being said. So as we had this man from the examiner coming to take the photo, the teacher obviously said, I'd like you to get on with some work and look as though you're working. But Paul hadn't heard that, so he was looking over to see, well, what are we meant to be doing? Even now, even with a hearing aid, I sometimes have to concentrate really hard to find out what people are saying and have to listen carefully to make sure that I know what's going on. So I've got 2 points from this picture. The first point is this, that everything is not always what it seems to be. And the second point is we need not only to listen, but we need to hear. Now, the last verse says this, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, I'm just looking round. Yes, you've all got ears, haven't you? And my prayer is that each one of us will hear this morning what God has got to say to each one of us. I don't want you to listen to me this morning. I'd like you to listen to what God has got to say to the church and to churches in general. So today we're looking at the series on tests of faith. And the first one that we looked at, Angela had a look, and the test of faith was love at Ephesus. Philip talked to us about the church at Smyrna and how they were being called to suffer. Richard last week looked at the church at Pergamum, and he looked at the truth. And today we're going to have a look at the church at Thyatira, and we're looking at the subject of holiness. Now, when Philip asked me if I'd do one of these, I said, you can just slot me into what's left. And when I saw the topic, holiness, I thought, I'm going to choose next time. And I thought, how can I stand up at the front and talk about holiness? It's a word that can make us feel very uneasy or threatened. And yet we need to think of what holiness is all about. Holiness really is being set apart for God, to be different for God. When God was developing a relationship with the people of Israel, he told Moses to tell the people, you must be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And as God calls you and me into a relationship with him, he wants us to be nourished by that relationship. So for us, we need to be holy, or strive to be holy. And if we're in a relationship with God, it means that holiness is part of the package. It's not an option, it's part of the package. And because God is so holy, it reveals our own sin, and we can see clearly that we don't meet God's standards. Now, I wonder, when was the last time that you wrote a letter? We don't often write letters these days, do we? But normally, it's very clear who the letter is from. So when I write a letter, I'll put Dear Fred, and it'll say from Paul. But this letter isn't very straightforward in that sense. Verse 18, it says, to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. So the message itself was written by John, but it was from Jesus himself. And in all of the seven letters to the churches, there's an inference that the message comes from Jesus himself. But in this letter, there's a very special reference to Jesus. If we just go back in Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 to 18, Jesus is introduced as being one who is like the Son of Man. But here, Jesus is referred to as being called the Son of God. And that's very important, because Jesus was talking to a church and he was going to have to rebuke them and challenge them about their sins. So Jesus had to stress that he was actually the Son of God, that he had the power to forgive sins. So it was a message from the Lord himself, from Jesus himself. And there's a description there that Jesus is, his eyes are like blazing fire and his feet like burnished bronze. Just think about that for a second. Jesus is able to see everything, and from him nothing is hidden. His eyes, as it were, penetrates into each one of our souls. From him, nothing is hidden. And his feet are like burnished bronze. It gives us a picture of polished metal that reflects light. And so the darkness of sin would be clearly shown. And Jesus goes on to affirm the church's positive actions. Have you ever done an exercise where you say, we're going to have a look at our strengths and weaknesses? We look at what we do good and we look at what we do bad. And the idea is that even though we're not doing something very well, the idea is that we can do things better in the future. If you like, we've done that with our church survey, haven't we? We've had a look at what the church is doing good and what the church is maybe not so good at. But the idea is to improve. And this is what Jesus is seeking to do with the churches. He's not seeking to nitpick, but he's seeking to encourage so that the church might be strengthened. And as one who has infinite knowledge of all the affairs of his people, Jesus says in verse 19, I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you're doing now, doing more than you did at first. Two words that really stood out to me were, I know your deeds and the love. All the good things that you're doing, Jesus knows about. And it gives us a picture of their works and their acts of love and their service and their perseverance. But it's a picture of growth. Notice, they were growing. They were doing more things and better things than they were from before. Think about oaks now. And think about some of those things. Love, faith, service, patient endurance and greater works. How many of those do you think are going on here at Oaks? Well, I would like to think that many of the things listed here are being done. But that's my guess. And it's not really my opinion that matters. It's the opinion of Jesus. The opinion of the one who knows. And the good things that we are doing, Jesus knows about. And he knows that those things sometimes come at a cost. We are people who are having to give not only of money but of their time, and it affects their families. And sometimes we take for granted the things that are going on. But Jesus says, I know all the things that you are doing. And our challenge, not only the church, but as individuals, is to listen to God. And I think this is very important. We need to listen to God to find out what he wants us to do, as opposed to what we want to do. As a church, we're looking at the way forward and the kind of things that God would have us do. And we need to look at what he wants us to get involved in. But just as importantly, we need to look at the things that he does not want to get us involved in. As individuals, are there areas which God has been speaking to us about in our lives that we have chosen not to listen to him about? As the one who has infinite knowledge of all our affairs, he says, I know. And then Jesus goes on to criticize the church. When we spoke about the school photo, we saw that everything was not what it seemed to be. And this was the case with the church at Thyatira. On the outside, everything looked pretty good. It was doing a lot of good things. It was growing. But the all-knowing Jesus saw things differently. Let me just give you a little bit of context as to what was going on here. Because of its location and industry, the church was, the city was known for it, what they call its trade guilds. I guess if we thought about it today, we might call it a trade union. But these guilds were a little bit different. But I'm going to refer to it as a union so that we can understand. And in order for someone to be able to work, they had to be part of the guild or the union. Now, unfortunately, each one of these guilds had their own god. And people who were in the union had to worship that god. They would have their own feasts and festivals. And also, they would worship the idols of those unions. And further to that, there would be immoral sexual practices going on within those unions. So these Christians were faced in a very difficult place. What do I do? Do I be part of the union and go along with what was said? Or do I not join that and not be able to earn a living? And as David was saying earlier, they had to learn to say, no. Oh, you're awake, that's good. They had to learn to say no, but they're in a very difficult situation. So here in this church at Thyatira was a prophetess, a lady who was a prophetess, and she was leading some members of the church astray. Now, she's called Jezebel here. That probably wasn't her name, but Jesus refers to her as Jezebel, referring back to Jezebel of the Old Testament, who was an evil woman. And some of the people, some of the believers, were going along with her teaching and committing adultery with her. And they were beginning to tolerate and just accept, well, this is part of what goes on. The other thing was the response of the church to that. And the church were actually allowing it to happen. They were not doing anything about it. So the church became known as the tolerating church. And as a church, we always need to be aware that we need to not compromise with what's going on in the world and the standards of the world. As we look at this church in Thyatira, we see that they were different from the church at Ephesus that Angela spoke to us about. They had very sound doctrine in holiness, but they were very poor on love. This church at Thyatira were very good on love and serving, but very poor on doctrine. So which one's right? Well, we need a balance, don't we? We need both doctrine and holiness, but we also need love as well. So there's got to be a balance within the church. And Jesus goes on to talk about this woman, and he calls her to repent of the wrong things that she's been doing. But we read in verse 21 that she was unwilling to repent. Despite all that she's done, she's given the opportunity, but she's unwilling. And so Jesus casts judgment on her. He says, I will cast her on a bed of suffering. I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer immensely, unless they repent of their ways. I will strike her children dead. Jesus is not messing about here, is he, at all? He comes with some very strong words to this lady and also to the members of the church who were following her ways. Then he says, all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each one of you according to your deeds. I think there are four very important lessons that we can learn from this. Firstly, Jesus is the one who not only sees and penetrates, but he searches our hearts and our minds and will repay each one of us according to our deeds. That's the bad news. But God will always give us a chance, a way out. He will always give us a time to repent. But notice this, the patience of God has its limits, and that won't carry on forever. So Jesus, as he's writing to the believers, says that they need to repent of their sins and allow God to search their hearts and minds. So we're not expected to be perfect or sinless. We are expected to repent. But it can be very uncomfortable when God talks to us at these times. And finally, he's got a message to the rest of the church at Thyatira. The good thing that is that not all the church were following these ways. And Jesus says again, hold on to what you have until I come. He said to them, it's a reminder, I know what you are going through. Keep doing the good things that you are doing. Keep close to me. And the secret of all this is not in our own strength, but in the strength of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. There's a verse that says this, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And as I've been preparing this sermon, God's been speaking about repentance and the need to be right with God. You know, When any preacher gives a sermon, he always speaks to the preacher first and he challenges them. So I've been really challenged over the last month or so as I've been preparing this, and we need to be open to what God is saying to each one of us. So keep doing the good things, he says, and keep close to me, and I know what you are doing. And finally, he goes on to list some promises. I'm not going into those too much. But for the ones who endure to the end, he says he will give blessings, authority over nations, victory over enemies. When I read that, I thought, oh, that seems like more work. I don't know whether I want to do that. But the main thing, Jesus said this, I will give the morning star, and the morning star is Jesus himself, And the promise is he will come alongside his church, and together we'll be able to have fellowship with Jesus if we endure to the end. So just in conclusion, if we're to live holy lives which are pleasing to God, we need to apply God's scripture to every situation that we face. We need to be willing to allow Jesus to search our hearts and our minds, to ask the Holy Spirit to give us ears to what the Spirit is saying to our hearts, to confess and to repent, but to fully receive the love that God has got for us and his forgiveness. We need to remain close to Jesus as we live out our faith each day, and to remain steadfast in our faith. Jesus says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I pray that God will continue to speak to each one of us and challenge us and build us up and encourage us in our faith. Amen.